Our gospel today stands in very stark contrast to the gospel last week, especially, you remember in the gospel last week we had two miracles. We had the miracle of the raising of the daughter of Jairus, and that story was sort of broken in the middle with this other miracle of the woman with the hemorrhage. And that miracle of the woman with the hemorrhage and the gospel today stand in very stark contrast. And they show us why and how, and Jesus explains to us why it is that miracles don't happen more often. And it's not for anything lacking on his part. That's what we see in the miracle of the raising of Jairus. You know, he is Lord of all, even over death. And that was the remarkable thing about that. You know, the people were ridiculing him when the little girl had died, and he said, "Oh no, she isn't dead. She's only asleep." And they were ridiculing him. There's nothing lacking on Jesus's side. But today, in the gospel today, it says right at the end, he was not able to perform any mighty deed there. And why was that? Well, it's because the people had this very familiar attitude to Jesus. He was in his hometown, and they heard him preaching, and they said, "Who is this guy? Where did he get all this?" I mean, that's really what it says. Where did this man get all this, you know? Where did he get all this stuff, you know? We know who he is. We know his whole family. We know all this sort of stuff, you know? Just who does he think he is? I think you all know that I kind of am given to old sayings, you know, if you old-fashioned say. If you run into me sometime, you say, "Father, how you doing?" I'll say, "Finer than a frog's hair," right? You know, that's don't think about that too much. But anyhow, but I like old sayings. And there's another one. They usually contain a lot of truth to them. That's why I sort of like them. This is one. Have you ever heard the saying, "Familiarity breeds contempt"? Have you heard that? Well, here is an absolute proof text for that. These people were the people of Nazareth were very familiar with Jesus, and they didn't have much use for him, to tell you the truth. What was lacking, why these great signs were not being able to be performed there, were because of their lack of faith in who Jesus is. They fell for the disguise of his sacred humanity. They were deceived and think, "Now Jesus really is human. He really is. But he's also fully divine." And they were deceived by that disguise in only accepting his humanity and not being open to the truth and the demands of his divinity, of the fact that Jesus is God. Do you remember the miracle last week of the woman with the hemorrhage? She had a very, very different attitude toward Jesus. And Jesus recognized that in her. You know, in this big crowd, Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" That's the first public sign that a miracle had happened. It all happened sort of in secret. But Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples, again, kind of make fun of him. They say, "Who do you mean, who touched you? You're in this big crowd. All kinds of people have touched you." But he meant, "Who touched me, not physically, but who touched me with faith and longing and desire? Who touched me seeking healing and salvation so that she received it from him?" Because he knew that. That was what was unseen. This woman saw what you cannot see about Jesus, and that is that he is God. Yesterday was the feast of St. Thomas, the apostle.
We often refer to St. Thomas as doubting Thomas, right?
But actually, St. Thomas makes the most adequate and profound statement of faith in who Jesus is that anybody in the Gospels does. Once he has touched the nail marks of Jesus in Jesus' hands and touched his side, the wound in his side, Thomas falls down and proclaims, "My Lord and my God." But that's not what he saw, was it? He didn't see God. He saw Jesus in his sacred humanity. Now, he is God, but that's not what you see. That's the disguise of his. But Thomas, in through faith, finally, doubting Thomas, has faith to see Jesus as God. The woman with the hemorrhage did. The people of Nazareth didn't. And so they were not open to receive the healing and salvation that Jesus was ready, willing, and able to give, as we know. It's kind of funny to me, in a way, right after saying he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. You're like, no big deal, you know about that, right? You know, sometimes people ask me, well, Father, what have you been doing lately? He said, oh, you know, just same old thing, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, you know, whatever. I wish it were, but for Jesus, that is the same old thing, you know? There were some people who came to Jesus with faith, and he was able to heal them. But by and large, the people of Nazareth thought they already knew who Jesus was. They were familiar with him. They didn't really think they needed him. And that's not the kind of relationship we can have with Jesus. Jesus has to be Savior to us. He has to be Savior. We cannot have this take it or leave it attitude about Jesus. We have to have the longing and desire and faith, that need, that desperation for Jesus that the woman with the hemorrhage had, so that she made sure she got in contact with Jesus. So that she could touch him and receive salvation and healing. And she did. Again, I'm afraid so many of us sort of starve ourselves spiritually and wonder why we don't experience more, because we're not actually looking for much. We're not expecting much. We're not desiring much. We're not desperate enough. Oh, I think we all actually are pretty desperate, to tell you the truth, but we don't go to him in our salvation. We seek comfort and solace and or distraction by all kinds of, you know, we have all kinds of things to distract us in our world, or to kind of medicate ourselves with all kinds of things or whatever, but they don't heal and they don't save. Only Jesus heals and saves. Only Jesus is Savior. And so we have to turn away from this attitude of familiarity with Jesus. Oh, I'll show up today. Maybe I won't. This, that. Oh, you know, nothing really is it. Nothing will happen until we desire it. Until we long for him. Until we make Jesus the absolute center of our life, without whom we cannot live. And if he is not that for you, if he is not Savior, then you do not really know him. Do not be fooled by the disguise. Jesus is a master of disguise. The disguise of his own humanity, which is a wonderful disguise because it allows us to approach him. You know,
to approach him in all these wonderful ways, like brother and friend, which are very true, but not as ultimately true as Savior. That's what his very name means, God saves. And most especially, do not be deceived by this even more profound disguise that he wears right here at this Mass today of the Holy Eucharist. This is Jesus, your Savior. Approach him with that kind of awe and wonder, maybe even fear. That's what people do. They fall down before Jesus in awe and wonder and even fear when they realize who he is. You know, St. Peter, after that miraculous catch of fish, right before Jesus calls him to be an apostle, it all of a sudden dawns on Simon Peter who Jesus is. And he falls down before him. He says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He realizes who Jesus is. And he then realizes how unworthy he is of what Jesus has done for him, of his healing and salvation. And so we must recognize the truth of Jesus, Savior, so that he may perform mighty deeds here.